Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, October 28th, 2019. It's our favorite day of the week because it's Memorization Monday, a time when we get to talk about God's Word, divide it, share it with y'all. And I hope you've been reading your book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan. And this is our 32nd week of covering various verses over these many months, and it'll actually take us into 2021. So we have a lot of great verses, and we're excited to share this one with you. It's Revelation 4:11. It's filled with hope and power and authority and glory, and we serve this great God. And the verse says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." So we're going to be talking about the sovereign, awesome God, the one true God in three persons, which is kind of a mystery. But if we could understand God, it would be something that we've made up. But he's all powerful. And the special guest we have to share with you today is Dr. David Webb. And I'll tell you a little background story. Marianne, a few weeks back, was saying, "Mark, are we going to ever have Dr. Webb back in again? He's such a great teacher.
He is.
I loved how he shared before. And might you consider it?" And I said, "Oh, sure. He's a great teacher. I love having him in. And has been a faithful servant of the Lord." And many of you have heard, I think I even mentioned this a week or two back, that one of the things I love about Dr. Webb is he had said many years ago, "Mark, my goal," I think I was talking to the Sunday school class I was in, "my goal is to teach through the whole Bible, every book." And then some of us laughed because I think he spent 4 or 5 years in the book of Mark, and we're thinking, to go through all 66 books, you know, he's going to be living
200.
He's going to Methuselah Webb here. But anyways, that was his passion, and he's been faithfully teaching God's Word for many, many years. And so when we had him in some months back to talk about one of these verses, it was really a blessing to so many. But wait, there's more. He's written a couple new books. In fact, one of the children's books is a part of a three-part series. And we'll see if we can touch on some of those in our program today. But Dr. Webb, thank you for joining us. I know some of our listeners have you as their primary physician. You're known as a doctor that not only follows the Lord Jesus Christ, but that prays with your patients. And you've taught at Twin City Bible Church for many years. I think you're part of a congregation or a newer church in the Muhammad area.
Sure. Yes. It's a small house church.
Okay.
And we're off and running for about two and a half years now.
Okay. And we'll touch on this also at the end of the program, but you have a special men's study that's going to be launched on Saturday, November 2nd at the Open Room in Muhammad. And there's a whole story there, so maybe we can touch on that and how that'll be launched. I think it's from 7 to 8:30 Saturday mornings, first and third. First and third. We'll talk about that, too. We'll try to fit that in. But primarily today, we're going to talk about Revelation 4:11. So before we cover a special reading, I just have one last announcement. From noon to 10 p.m. at Jarling's Custard Cup in Champaign, 20% of all purchases will be donated back to the radio station. Now, you have to mention Great News Radio, but if you have a hunkering, even though it's a little colder out, for ice cream or malts or shakes or frozen cakes or other fixins that they have at Jarling's Custard Cup in Champaign on Kirby Avenue, 20% will be donated back to the station. So
please,
I know
the
singing men, we have rehearsal tonight from 7 to 9, and when we're done with rehearsal, we're all going to go over there. We might even sing a song or two.
Oh, but my goodness.
20% of your purchases will be donated back to the station. So it's just a fun thing to gather together, have some ice cream, and help the station.
Yeah.
Helping the station, though, is by declaring Jesus as Lord, sharing his word with people, and I count it a privilege, Dr. Webb, that you're able to carve out some time, and you'll talk about Revelation 4:11 or teach about it. I know you said it's one of your favorite verses, so Marianne, how about you read, and let's see what God would share with all of us about Revelation 4:11, which says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
Okay, this is Robert J. Morgan's words. "According to my friend, Frank Fortunato, director of music for OM International, Revelation 4 and 5 is the favorite passage for many worship leaders. It's arguably the Bible's primary text on the subject of worship, a virtual open window into an actual worship service occurring in heaven. As you memorize Revelation 4:11, think of the verse as a summary of the whole scene around the throne, but take time to study the entire two-chapter passage. Here's an outline to help, and there's four parts to his outline. Number one, when we worship, we're approaching a glorious throne. Revelation 4, 1 through 3. In the heart of heaven is a literal throne, and this throne is the ultimate power source for the universe. It's described many times in the Bible, for example, Isaiah 6 and Ezekiel 1, and whenever we worship, we're approaching this throne of grace and glory. Number 2, when we worship, we're joining an eternal chorus. Revelation 4, 4 through 11. Worship is constantly occurring around the throne. The 24 elders may be symbolic of the universal church, and the four living creatures may represent the angelic world. I don't think our life in heaven is literally going to be one long church service. We'll be involved in many things throughout eternity. But whenever we want, we'll be able to walk up the broad boulevard in New Jerusalem, heading toward the city center. And as we approach the throne, we'll hear the music and feel the ground vibrating under our feet. We'll join a song in sweet accord and thus surround the throne. Number 3, when we worship, we're praising a triune God. Notice the Trinity in these chapters. In chapter 4, God the Father is emphasized. Revelation 5 is a description of God the Son. In both chapters, we have a reference to the Holy Spirit. Revelation 4, 5, and 5, 6. Compare with Revelation 1, 4. And point 4. When we worship, we're glorifying a worthy Lord. Revelation 5, 11 through 14. Amen. He is worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise. Worship is the gyroscope of the soul. A person without personal patterns of worship is like a ship or an airplane without any stabilization or direction. When we worship, we're aligning our minds to God's truth, our imaginations to God's glory, our emotions to God's stability, and our souls to God's songs. When we worship, we're approaching a glorious throne, joining an eternal chorus, praising a triune God, and glorifying a worthy Lord, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Revelation 4:11. And here's a quote from Vernon Whaley. He's the director of the Center for Worship and Music at Liberty University, and he's the primary editor of two hymnals. In Revelation 4 and 5, all the host of heaven joins the angels, elders, a heavenly choir, and 10,000 times 10,000 in singing and playing songs to the Lord.
Amen. Wow. I feel like we should break away and just spend time praying and worshiping right now. Yeah. Dr. Webb, you were saying earlier that this is like a favorite passage or just a wonderful passage that you can cling to. How do you find hope or wisdom, or why do you connect with this verse?
Well, it's an absolute pleasure for me to be able to speak about Revelation 4 and 5. They are unique in the entire part of Scripture, and certainly unique to Revelation. And I really believe, Mark, that modern-day Christians today, living in the kingdom of God in the church age, have to have a perspective that you gain by reading and understanding Revelation 4 and 5. with that understanding and then the truth and the reality of it, we can live with a different perspective. And I think at the end of this session, I hope that the listeners will really understand what I mean by that. This is glorious material, glorious scripture, glorious word. To understand this verse, 4:11, I want to put it in context. Mm-hmm. First of all, we understand that Revelation 1 through 3 first has a vision of the risen and glorious Christ. And then there's the teaching of the Lord concerning the churches then, but also those representing the churches today. And then for Revelation 6 through 19 are the tribulations, the wrath of God, the judgment of God upon the sin of the world, the evil that lives in the world. And then, of course, 20 through 22 is the establishment of the new heaven and the new earth. But we have in the middle of this, Revelation 4 and 5, and they're unique. They're the prologue to this tribulation that goes on and that John talks about in 6 through 19. What we got to understand is there's only two people in the scripture that have ever gone into the throne room of God. And that was Paul. And 2 Corinthians tells us that he was elevated in his spirit to the third heaven. But of course, he was not permitted to tell us any details. And the only other person was John in Revelation, where he is elevated into spiritually the throne room of God in chapter 4. Not only is he permitted to tell the details, he was instructed to give us insight to exactly who God is in his reign as Lord, sovereign God of justice, judgment, and salvation. And so we have a unique perspective here in chapter 4. Now, other people in the scriptures have visions of heaven, like Ezekiel and Daniel, Micah, Isaiah, and some of the writers of the Psalm have visions, but only these two people have actually been there. So we've been in chapter 4, and first thing we see is that a voice is heard speaking to me like a trumpet, and that voice is none other than the risen Christ. Mm. That trumpet, that authoritative voice says to John, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this, and after this is after he has risen, after he has taken his place on the right hand of the Father. And John says, I am amazed at what I'm seeing. I am astonished, and he says, behold, I can't believe my eyes. So then he's brought up into the Spirit. He's ushered into the throne room of heaven. And he says in that he sees the throne with someone sitting on it. Now, the throne is not a piece of furniture, Mark. This represents the symbol of the sovereign, powerful God himself, the ruler, the reigner, the creator of all things. And it's standing in heaven. And standing there means that it is permanent, never be moved. It is there from the time of creation and before that into eternity. And someone is sitting on it. Now, it's interesting in the scripture not to let the little words escape you. It's sitting on it. As opposed to in Hebrews, after Jesus was done with his work of resurrection, he reclined and he rested. Sitting means God the Father is ready to do the judgment. He's ready to act. He's ready to reign. He's ready to deal with the evil that has been in this world. He's sitting in the throne room ready to reign. And it's interesting, too, that John describes him as having an appearance of jasper, and different versions say different things, but this version says carnelian. And if you look at that, what that really is the jasper is like a diamond, and it shows the facet of the diamond being like the characters of God, brilliant and light shining through it in all different dimensions. And that a carnelian is probably a ruby, a blood red ruby. And here you see the symbolic nature of fire and judgment. And what's also interesting is that the high priest would have on his breastplate the 12 jewels. And the first one was the diamond representing Reuben, the firstborn, which means behold a son. And the last one was the ruby for Benjamin, and that means, behold the Son on my right hand. So you have the reference here to Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And now it's also interesting that God has not forgotten his covenant to his people. And so you have this picture of these jewels, these bright, startling, dazzling jewels that he describes God as. And then he says that surrounded the throne was 24 thrones. And seated on them were 24 elders. Now, 24 in Scripture is often used for completion and fulfillment, representation. And so it's commonly felt that this 24 elders represent the risen, raptured church of Christ. And at the time of John's writing, the fullness of the church hasn't been ushered in, but these 12 elders represent us, the church, when we will rule with Jesus Christ on those thrones. And so you have this representation and completion on these thrones with these 24 elders. And they dress in white, white being the symbolic sense of being made clean and acceptable by the blood of Christ. And then their crowns of gold, you know, the crowns they achieve because they have been faithful in their life and walk with God. And they receive the crowns. They finish the race and they receive the crowns. And we'll see later they be replacing these crowns in worship in front of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then in front of the throne was flashes of light, rumblings and thunder. And here you have the prelude to what he's going to do in judgment and justice for the rest of the revelation. And seven lamps were blazing, and that's the Spirit of God. You know, Isaiah 11 talks about the seven characteristics of the Spirit. And so you're seeing the Spirit represented here, but in this case, not as the Comforter, but the Consummation, who's going to enact the judgment of God upon evil and upon all that is not correct in God's kingdom. And then we have this glass in front of him, the clear, crystal, sparkling glass. Again, you see the emphasis on light. And then in the center, around the throne, you have these four living creatures. And it's interesting, different people see these different creatures with different names. Ezekiel names them as cherubims, a higher, exalted level of angelic people who are associated with the power of God. And they're continually moving and moving around the throne of God. And they got these eyes all over them. Nothing escapes their ability to see what is real and true and right. And they have different faces. One is the lion for power. And the second is the ox or the cow for service. And the third is man with a rational part of his creation. And the fourth is speed, the eagle. And here you have the totality of creation represented in these four living creatures. And they have six wings and covering their eyes. Now, Ezekiel also says that one set of wings covers their eyes because they can't look like Moses can't look at the glory of God. And the other set of wings on their feet because they're standing on holy ground. And the third set of wings is they're moving continually around the throne of God. And day after day, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Now, this is the first of five hymns of praise that we find in Revelation 4 and 5. The first is the quartet of these four living beings. The second will be the elders adding to that quartet. And then in chapter 5, we have harps added. And then we have the whole angelic host added. And then finally, we have all creation singing these praises of God. But here we start with the quartet saying, "Holy, holy, holy." That means the complete and utter separation of our God from everything that's evil and wrong. He is holy, and he's almighty, all mighty. He will do everything and anything. There is nothing the sovereign God does not have power and authority over. And right now, their focus is on the judgment of evil, judgment of the world, the judgment of sin. Who was, who is, and is to come, he's eternal. Now, after the four living creatures sing this, giving glory, honor, and thanks to him, sings the 24 elders join them. And they first fall down in worship, as what you read. They worship him. They find themselves prostrate before him. Six times in Revelation, these elders fall down prostrate in front of the Lord in worship. This is indeed worship, chapter 4 and chapter 5. And they lay their crowns in front of him because they know that their crowns are worthless in his presence. He is so much greater than anything that has to do with our humanity and even the rewards of our humanity. They lay their crowns before Him and they join in with this Revelation 4:11. The memory verse for today, the great and powerful memory verse, says, "You are worthy, our Lord, our God, our Master, our Creator." This is a praise of creation. You are worthy. Every act that you do is perfect. Your character demands and is entitled to our exalting. You deserve everything. Everything accords to you. You are worthy, our Master, our Creator, to receive our glory, our honor, and the power. All power belongs to you. For here's the part of creation. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You see, Mark, the elders are saying, God, you own your creation. This is yours.
Praise God.
You own it, and you're going to come back and reclaim it. You're going to judge the sin and the evil that has pulled down your creation, and you are going to reclaim it. Now, I was reminded so much when I read this of Colossians 1:15-20. It says this, "He is the image of the invisible God." He's talking about Jesus Christ. "The firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created, things in heaven on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, rulers or authority, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things. In Him all things hold together." Even now, it is Jesus Christ who keeps us able to take the next breath.
Oh, friends, we are blessed. We are blessed.
Oh, gee. Marianne, do you think your bucket's filling up today?
Oh, I'm happy.
Yes. Oh, wow. What a great verse.
Oh, praise God.
Thank you, Dr. Webb. I don't know if you're able, but we'd love to have you back for Testimony Tuesday. Maybe a few more comments on this and then talk about your books, your upcoming men's study on November 2nd in Mahomet, and a host of other things that I would love to run by you. So maybe we can commit to continuing this discussion on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And let's think about these words from Revelation 4:11. Better yet, let's think about and worship the Lord God who these describe. Revelation 4:11, "You are worthy." We're talking about Almighty God, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. "For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." And I love you use the word entitled. God is entitled to our worship, our sacrifice, our passion, our energies, our efforts, our greatest thoughts.
We wouldn't be here.
Yeah. All glory to the Lord. And what a great reminder through Revelation 4:11.
So run out, get some ice cream, and be back tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. So tonight, anytime from noon to 10 p.m. at the Custard Cup in Champaign, right on Kirby Avenue, and I hope you can join us again tomorrow as we'll maybe recap a little of this Revelation 4:11 and talk about a couple books that I think you're going to really enjoy having and reading and purchasing for friends and others. And we'll talk about that, where the proceeds of the children's book will be helping with a children's home in Kenya, Africa. So more to say about that tomorrow. So join us at the same time, and then be mindful of the sovereign, glorious, wonderful, all-powerful God that we have the privilege of knowing and serving, and He delights in you. He created you. He has a plan and purpose for your life. He loves you, and He wants you to model and be that Jesus to maybe somebody hurting today. So let's again be mindful of Revelation 4:11. "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Dr. David Webb with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.